Welcome back to the TOD Project. Today it is episode 35. Again, we thank you for coming out. We thank you every single time, but we especially thank you today. Thank you for coming out today and listening to this podcast. But again, episode 35 of the TOD Project. Today we have a guest on today. His name is Dylan Smith. We'll get into Dylan momentarily here. But just want to say, make sure to get connected with Triumph Company, the people that run this podcast, Marcellus and I, we own that company. So make sure to get connected with that with Triumph on Instagram at Triumph Company US. We're always dropping stuff. We got one more drop for summer that we're planning, and then we're gonna jump into fall and winter very soon here. And as always, use code TOD10 at 10% off for checkout for 10% off. But yeah, so let's get into this. Dylan, nice to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you. And it's very great to be on here as well. I'm super humbled and grateful to be here.
Awesome. I know we're excited to have you. Things kind of fell through yesterday, but we're recording today, so that's all that matters. Marcellus, absolutely. How are you, my man? How's Nashville?
I'm doing amazing. Honestly, Nashville's doing great, I guess. I don't know. I've been locked into the apartment, just building my businesses, doing me, yeah. Working on myself, grinding. You already know. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited because there's some controversy going on right now in the fitness space from one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time. And I'm going to ask Dylan about it as, you know, he gets in the story on stuff like that. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this.
Awesome. I mean, it's always yeah. Nice to hear from you, my man. You haven't said the what you usually say on the pod. You haven't said that in a while. What is it?
Man, I don't want to be too predictable on this dang podcast. I don't want people. I know Marcus is going to say that every time. I'm doing good and getting better no matter the weather. No, right now, I'm in a mood where I just want to kill shit. I just want to kill this podcast. I just want to dominate the day. So let's get it.
All right, Dylan. Well, let's hop into it, right? You're on the podcast for a reason. We thought that you'd be an awesome guest to come on. One, you're big into fitness. That's kind of what we're transitioning into as Triumph as a company and as Marcellus and I as well. I mean, I know Marcellus has been in it more than I have, but me personally, I'm taking that extra leap into my my personal health and everything. So it's we like to get like-minded individuals. We feel like we've got one for this episode. So get into like you as a person, what's your, like where you're from, like just you. Tell the people who you are, introduce yourself, however you want to do that is good with us.
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah. So my name is Dylan and I'm from Illinois, super small town in Illinois. Not very many people know it, but it's called Canton, Illinois. It's close to Peoria, but that's where I was raised. I was born in Galesburg. So super close to that area, maybe like an hour. So that is the area I was like born and raised in. And that's where I, you know, learned how to play sports, learned how to walk, talk, and breathe pretty much, I guess, just be the man I am today. So a lot of lessons came out of that place and I'm super grateful for everything that that place taught me, but I am also very grateful to be out of there as well. moving into Nashville was a great move, just taking up roots and just moving out of the state is just one of those things that, you know, it was one of those things you might feel that you just are called to do, and it was one of those things I didn't even hesitate. I just made the decision. I'm like, you know what, let's do it. And I jumped on it. So it was just an awesome opportunity. But it kind of to talk about more of like who I am and like how I got into the bodybuilding and fitness industry and personal training and coaching, and then led into that, the personal development and the mindset and the entrepreneurship of everything. I guess, man, it all really started. It all funnels down back to when I was like 5 years old, playing sports, playing t-ball. You know, my dad got me into t-ball, and he was a big baseball guy too. And he always, I remember going to his place every other weekend because my parents split up when I was two. I'm from a broken home in that aspect, but he taught me just the fundamentals of athletics, just working hard, staying focused, staying determined and driven. And as I look back on it, that's really one thing that I've always ever had. You know, some people as they grow up, they have friends, they have families and, you know, activities and stuff where they can just kind of grab onto and just develop as a person through that source. And that was me, you know, with sports. I was able to develop my leadership skills, develop my abilities to connect with people, and develop my just drive as an ambition as a person. So I'm very grateful for my dad pushing me to get into that stuff and always walking with me on that journey. So after that, man, like, it's just incredible experience throughout sports. You know, I pretty much did everything except for tennis and golf. Well, I did play a little golf, not like competitive golf, which I always thought was cool though. Respect that sport big time. But going into high school, I kind of narrowed my focus down to more running, more track and soccer, really, because those two sports were more singled out rather than a whole team aspect. And as I know now, bodybuilding, it's all single, like it's all you. You don't have a team, you don't have a coach or anything like that to help you and guide you. Well, you do in some aspects, but for the most part, it's all you. You step up on stage, you do the diets, you do the workouts, you pose, you have to keep your mindset focused. It's all you. It's all what you bring to the table, and you either win or you lose from that. So I love that. I'm driven by that, you know, that's my ambition with it. And, you know, starting with running, can you continue the pace? Can you keep moving forward? Can you beat the guy next to you? And can you keep pushing yourself farther and farther and farther past your break, past that limit where your mind's telling you, dude, I don't know if I can go any farther. But like David Goggins always says, that 40% rule, man, that is 100% real thing. Where when you start to feel that pain, that you're only 40% done. You know, you still have 60% to go. And you push beyond that mental barriers, and it just unleashes your full potential. So that is one thing that I truly discovered about myself going through sports and getting into, you know, my career into bodybuilding. And now I use that same mentality in my entrepreneurship, growing my businesses and trying to crush it every single day. So that's kind of a short little backstory, short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah. All right, bro. I'm going right in with the question, because
Arnold
Schwarzenegger, man, he's one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time. A lot of people know him for pumping iron, man. Like, I could just see that. I could see the scene where he won the fucking Olympia and like he was sitting there smoking a fucking joint.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was gonna ask you about, I don't know if you heard about the news, man. Colin Von Moger is a bodybuilder that I highly look up to. And he took all of his Arnold Schwarzenegger's posters down, chromed them up, threw them in the trash can and burned them, because Arnold Schwarzenegger went on CNN and was basically talking a whole bunch of crap and saying, you know, screw your freedom. Basically saying that, you know, people need to get vaccinated. Who cares about your freedom? Quit being a little punk about it. And a lot of people are heated at Arnold Schwarzenegger about that. So how are you feeling about Mr. Old Cranky Arnie saying that?
Old Cranky Arnie. Well, man, you know, that's without getting too much into politics and stuff, because like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I will express my opinions with things. You know, I'm not going to say my opinions are absolute right, because who am I to say that? You know, I'm just one man. But with that still, like, yes, Arnold absolutely was a major motivator and mentor for me, even though I never met the guy in person. That's the cool thing about YouTube and videos and stuff, man. It's like you get to see the people, get to get mentored by the people without actually being there. That's the cool thing about 21st century, man. Technology is amazing. But with that being said, we also face things that we're facing today, where technology and the media and this tool, this device that we're speaking on right now, can be transformed into manipulation tools. And it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. Like, psychology is incredible. And the way we study the brain and how things work, we can learn how to manipulate the human mind without anybody even realizing it. And with the big thing with what Arnold said, man, like, Colin Von Moger, like, I love him too. He's awesome. But maybe he took it a little too far with taking down the posters and burning them and stuff like that. Maybe he did. Maybe he was very deeply hurt by that statement, you know? And honestly, for Arnold to say that from the start, he came to America for freedom, man. If he was still in Austria, he wouldn't have anything that he has today. So for him to say that is to disregard everything that he's built in his entire life. You know, he can't say that. He can't he can't truly say that and mean it to 100% because he discredits everything that he's done. Does that make sense? You know? So
yeah.
Like, I'm not sure why he said that. I'm not sure. Well, actually we could probably figure out why he said that pretty easily, but it's probably being, his strings were being pulled. I'm sure it's tough situations to be in when you have people pointing cameras at you and persuading you in other ways that nobody wants to tell you about. But I don't know, man. I don't think it's right that he said that. I don't think it's, well, it's absolutely not right because America is the greatest country. And honestly, the whole fact that he can say that on television without getting thrown in jail, executed in the streets, kind of like these women in Taliban or in women with the Taliban in Afghanistan that are literally being burned for not cooking right or being killed because they have a Bible app on their phone, like, and being persecuted like this. That is the reality of the world we live in. And yet you won't see that in the United States for the fact of freedom. So to say, screw your freedom, when freedom gives you the opportunity to even say that from the start, man, there's something wrong with that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Don't ever say screw your freedom. Believe in it, embrace it, embody it, and use it as a tool for good rather than evil. Be the light, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I feel that 100%. I may seem a little bit uneducated on this, but what was the whole situation about? I did see the clip that he said, like, screw your freedom and everything, but what was the whole point of him talking on CNN in the first place? Was it all to do with vaccines or?
I'm right there with you, man. I didn't see the full clip. I haven't seen it. I couldn't find it. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I haven't seen the full interview either.
Yeah, but I think, see, that's the thing too. Like, that's with media. Like I was just saying, you know, they manipulate. They can take a small little clip and put it out of proportion. So maybe he had a good point, you know. I'm sure he was trying to be here. I'll play the devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was trying to say that, hey, this, stop being ignorant and focus on helping your neighbor. Maybe that's what he was going mm-hmm. with. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm not saying that's right either, because you can't say don't be ignorant, get the vaccine, because people are dying with the vaccine in their body from the vaccine. They're dying from that. Like, you can't just say it's going to cure everything, because it's not. Like, an FDA full approval doesn't mean anything. Like, anybody who knows anything about supplements or food, health and nutrition knows that the FDA slaps their approval on things that have killed people as well. Like, can cause serious issues in the body if not taken right, or, you know. So, like, that's the thing. An FDA approval doesn't really mean it's our saving thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So people just get misconstrued with the headlines mm-hmm. and what the small little clips that are being thrown at them day and night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
Honestly, man, I don't like it either, because for one, I mean, I'm an African-American man, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, say, like, screw your freedom. Like, that's really what a lot of my ancestors fought for on a daily basis. Yeah. So me, I embrace being free. I embrace being American. And I embrace the fact that, you know, I get up every day and I can do exactly what I want whenever the hell I want. You know, I may not be, like you said, the most a political person. I may not be the most pro-Black person, because I love everybody. I'm type person that, you know, I like to dive into, you know, other people's religions and cultures and stuff like that. If you ever see me, I'm usually with so many different people with so many different races, because I make friends with everyone. And I know that deep down on a cellular level, we all are the same. We all are made up of the same atoms and energy. Amen. That makes up, that permeates this whole entire universe. And we all are created by the higher power, whatever you want to call it, God, Yahweh, whatever you call God, Allah, Buddha, whatever you praise to. Yeah. I do believe there's a higher power that necessarily isn't a man, it's divine energy. And to say stuff like that can literally slap a lot of people in the face, you know, because there's people that literally will die. They will do anything. They will cut their legs off, arms off or something just to, you know, be here and be free. Yes, but
seriously.
So yeah, seriously. Bro, that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's my opinion is pretty consistent with what Marcelo said too. So it's just I don't know. Like I guess I would have to do my own research about it and get the whole context of everything. Like if he was
absolutely yeah.
I'm leaning towards, because like knowing who Arnold Schwarzenegger was and is, like, he, at least based on what I've seen about him, he's never been a person to like sell his experiences short, or especially sell, you know, the country short. So I guess I would have just have to watch it more in depth to realize what the situation actually was. And I guess on top of that, what the prior questions were that he was asked, because again, with what you were saying, Dylan, like possible persuasion, you know, this, that, and the other thing, you know, pulling strings, pushing buttons, that all has details. All includes a bunch of different types of scenarios that can happen too. So, I don't know. It's one hell of a thing, especially someone that impactful in such a big industry, that has like for your case, like been an idol for a lot of people, to say something as controversial as that. Yeah. I feel like there's gotta be a little bit more behind it. So
that's like Michael Jordan coming out saying something like that. But anyways, Dylan, you looking swole as heck right now, bro. Did you just get out the gym? Did you like get a little pump in before the podcast?
Hey, I can't share my secrets. All right. If you want to know the secrets of getting swole, join Muscle University and we'll talk.
But, shameless plug. I love it.
Yeah. Not. Maybe a couple of push-ups here now. But now I actually just woke up, getting the day started, got my morning routine done. I got this routine that I've been committing to just every single morning, getting a little reading done, taking a cold shower, doing the morning devotionals, getting in my devotional book, writing my goals out, writing affirmations, gratitude affirmations, and reciting them as well, and just focusing on my money targets. And dude, every single day it takes like 30 minutes to an hour maybe to start your day, but think about, like, that's a small time where you can pinpoint exactly where you want to go, so you can just push yourself forward to your goals. So that was my commitment level, and that's what I got done so far this morning. So maybe that's giving me the pump, because I'm just so excited for success. I'm ready for it, you know. I'm hungry.
So I want to mention one thing. Anyone, if you want to go follow and connect with Dylan, all his stuff will be down below. I'll probably say this at the end of the podcast anyways, but make sure to connect with this man. All his links will be down below in the description of any platform you're on. But if you do go on his Instagram, you'll see the Muscle U Coaching, Muscle University. What's that? What's the whole thing about? You already did mention that a little bit. Is that your personal coaching type of thing, or what's it all about?
Yeah, that's my business, my personal coaching, where I can dive in with you one-on-one, help you develop a mindset of success, a body of success, a physical success, and just spiritual, emotional success as well. You know, I try to encapsulate all of that together, because if you think about it, you know, really, if you just focus on your physical success, you're leaving behind two other aspects that are so important to overall fulfillment and overall success. So with all of my clients, I really focus on fitness, physical fitness. I focus on eating, nutrition, because what you put into your body becomes what your body is. Fun fact, actually, did you know that every cell in your body regenerates, right? This is common knowledge that we all know. We get a scab, it heals. We get a cut, it heals, turns into a scab, turns into a scar. Your body heals itself naturally. But taking it one step further, did you know every week, every single cell in your body is brand new? You're a brand new person. The old cells have died out and been replaced with new cells. So literally every week, you're a brand new person. Every day, half of your body is brand new. Livers, organs, skin, hair, nails, everything. Every single thing in your body, except for teeth, stuff like that, bones, obviously, you know, that stuff's there. But the main fact, your cells regenerate all the time. So what you put into your body determines how your cells regenerate and grow and heal and rejuvenate. So if you're damaging your body by putting, let's say, alcohol, putting fast food, junk and stuff like that into it, you're going to get exactly out of it what you're putting in. That's why people always say you are what you eat. It is absolute fact. You are what you eat, because your body takes that nutrition, puts it into the cell, and helps heal and rebuild new cells based on that, what it eats. So I teach people to kind of show them what to eat, when to eat it, because knowing what to eat is half the battle. Knowing when to eat it changes the game on how you develop your physique. So that's the big thing, man. It's just diving in with people, getting the opportunity to serve them, which makes me so fulfilled and so happy, and so my heart's so full, being able to give back my knowledge and just help every people grow and just discover their true fulfillment, their true potential, you know. And with that as well, if you're not looking for coaching, I also have workout programs with meal plans and stuff. It's all on my app. So there's a bunch of different programs to do. I'm even dropping a 30-day challenge here in a little bit. I'm actually going to do a 30-day challenge, and then I'm going to do like a 90-day challenge. So people that want to just get into it, start it, just want to test it out, 30 days, perfect. But if somebody wants to change their life, 90 days where it's at. Because that's how long it takes to really build solid personalities. You know, they say a habit built in what, like 22 days, something like that. Mm-hmm. But your personality, 21. Yeah. And then after that, if you keep doing it for longer, if you keep doing it for 90 days, it becomes a part of you. It becomes your personality. Right. So that's the biggest thing I try to focus on. And that's the model I built this business around. So doing my best to give back to the world.
So, bro, do you respect people? Okay, so like I'm a big gym goer, you know what I'm saying? I'm a gym rat as well. I've been working out, man, since I was like 11, 12 years old, bro. Like, man, my dad was not playing that shit. He made sure I had to get my butt in the gym. He wanted me to be masculine as possible. Like, but some people come in the gym, and you know, there's different types of people. You know, you got your big guy that comes in there and lifts a whole bunch of weights. And he does like 1 or 2, 3 reps, and he thinks that he's doing something. But then you got the guy with a nice physique that comes in there and does like 12 to 20 reps. So like, which one do you respect more? Do you respect somebody more that has like a phenomenal physique, or somebody that can come in there and throw a whole bunch of weight around?
Well, I respect the person that can look at themselves in the mirror, acknowledge that they aren't achieving everything that they want, and take a step into the gym to make it happen for themselves, regardless of what they do in there. I respect that person because they are taking full advantage of the tools that they have and understanding that I have to take responsibility for my life and where I am right now, because every decision that I've made in my life has led me to this moment right here. Every decision I've made in my life has led me to this moment talking with you two right here, you know? So if you can take responsibility for that and get into the gym, man, I respect you so much, because you're trying to change your life. You're trying to better yourself. You know, I don't really think it matters what you do in there as far as what your goal is, because everybody's goal is different. So everybody's training style is a little bit different. Yes, there are ways, like there are pathways that you can go down to get to the way you want. For example, if you want to go to California, you don't drive east. Right? You drive west, you know? So that's the same. If you're trying to build a strong physique, you got to take the path that leads you to that. You wouldn't just do cardio, you know? You would do a little bit of everything, really. You would do that heavy powerlifting style where you're hitting 1 to 3 reps for maybe 5, 6 sets. You would also then transition and change things up to do the 12 to 15 reps, kind of getting that hypertrophy and pump. All right. So you would really do everything like that. So I wouldn't really say I respect the guy who lifts heavy. I respect the guy who doesn't lift heavy. You know, if you're in there, if you're working hard, man, I respect you. And just, you're in there to better yourself, just like me. So let's go.
Hey, bro, I appreciate you for that answer. Cause like literally I got buddies that do that power lift, and I got buddies that do bodybuilding. And, you know, I've always been more a fan of bodybuilding because to me, it's a true art form on how you can, you know, get the physique to pop like that, and to develop the muscle and the grind that goes into it, the eating and everything like that. Because in powerlifting, you can damn near eat whatever you want. You just got to be strong. But in bodybuilding, you have to have the diet on point. The mind-muscle connection has to be on point as well. So, like, I remember I used to get, like, crapped on because, like, you know, my physique, I'm not here to toot my own horn, but I've always had a pretty decent physique. But I never benched over, you know, 350. I never benched over, you know, over 400 pounds. And so, like, I had buddies that did. and they were like, you know, give me crap for it. Like, hey, bro, like, come on, man. Your arms is that big, but you ain't benching 400. I'm like, dude, the average, most people can't bench 400 pounds, and I'm not in the gym to do that. I'm in the gym to create the best physique possible, and I want to be in shape. I want to be able to walk up the steps and be fit as hell. Oh, speaking of that, oh, my God. We was in Dallas, bro. It's not really off topic, but me and a couple of my business partner, we had to go down 18 flights of stairs, and like we did it. We ran down the stairs, and like I felt good. I felt great. So like that's what I work out for. You know, I work out to look good and to feel good, not to be the strongest guy in the gym.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. Like I said, everybody's goal is different. You know, doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And the best thing about it, man, see, you're just like me. You know, we look strong, but are we though? It's fine. Nobody really cares if you can bench. See, the biggest, what I heard, I heard this a long time ago, and I love it because I always say it too, and I remember it so well. But this guy told me, you know, it's one thing to be strong, and it's one thing to look strong, but tell me, which does a girl really care about? She care about if you bench 300 pounds or if you look like you can bench 300 pounds. She's going to like that guy. She's going to like the guy who looks like it because he got the muscles when the other guy doesn't necessarily. They're there, but they're just hidden away under, you know, layers, you know? So that always inspired me to be like, you know what? Yeah, girls like muscles. So I don't care if I can lift. I don't care if I can deadlift 500 pounds. I look like it. And that's all that matters, you know?
Okay. So I'm sort of confused about the, I don't know what to call it. Like the, maybe methodology of the practice maybe. Cause if which one, like, is there a specific, like in bodybuilding, do you want to look good? In powerlifting, you want to lift a fuck ton? Is that how it is? Like bodybuilding, you're just like, you're just toning yourself up. You're making like everything pop and like just making it look good. And then powerlifting, you're just like, I'm going to go in there and fucking lift as much as I can.
basically, because it's all about the competitive aspect. Like when you're competing, because most people who are powerlifting, most people who are bodybuilding, they're not just doing it. They're not just saying, yeah, I'm a powerlifter, I'm a bodybuilder, but then never compete, you know? They're saying that because they're trying to compete, because they're trying to win, because they're trying to gain the title. So in order to do that, you have to focus in on, dial in on the goal for that specific round, for that specific thing. So powerlifting, they care about lifting heavy and low amounts of reps, quick, explosive, powerful movements, because in a powerlifting meet, they have to be able to do that. And they have to be able to beat the guy next to him who's also been trained to do that. So they have to push themselves in that aspect. So it really doesn't make sense to focus on a bodybuilding split when you're a powerlifter. Mm-hmm. Now, it does in a sense of you're making sure all areas are okay. So that way you're not tearing muscles and stuff like that. Because if you're a powerlifter and you just focus on 1 to 3 reps, you're going to hit a certain plateau that focusing on 12 to 15 reps will help you get there, because it's those hypertrophy workouts, those higher reps, they strengthen ligaments and muscles as well. And it allows you to have endurance to keep pushing past levels and keep building new strengths like that. So for bodybuilding, we don't really care about how much you can lift. It's about how the muscles look, how you develop and build your muscles, just like an artist. And Arnold Schwarzenegger always said this too. He always says, you know, bodybuilding is an art. Your body's the canvas. And just like a sculptor who puts some clay on one of those rotating things, you know, building a pot to fix the side of his pot, you know, he puts clay in there and then rotates it, manipulates it to build up his pot, build up his sculpture. And that's exactly how we are too. Say I want more delts or I want more bicep, I put some clay on there, which is in this analogy, the clay is the nutrition, clay is the food. I eat more and then I exercise that muscle and it grows in that aspect. So that's how we focus for bodybuilding. It's an art. Your body is the masterpiece. You know, you're making sure everything is symmetrical. You're visualizing the finished perfect product. And it doesn't matter how much you can lift, but at the same time, lifting heavy builds that muscle. So it kind of does as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So both goals, you still need to do all things, but you're still moving in different directions, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Because obviously, like, I'm not saying dudes that bodybuild can't lift much, but it's just I was wondering the specifics of each. I suppose.
Sure. Yeah. All breaks down to what the goal is.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So obviously this podcast is called the TOD Project. Basically, what TOD stands for Triumph Over Defeat. We have it like that because
I love that.
We want people on here that like to share their story, like to share, you know, what they did to overcome a setback. You know, what was the setback? How'd you go over it? How long did it take you to get over that? So obviously you can see where I'm going here, in your journey to where you are now in your life. What was one or two or a major setback that you've had, that made you, the question that we do ask sometimes is made you rethink, the process, or, you know, made you, you know, really bite down, stick your nose in the dirt and get over it. What was that moment in your process? You can go weightlifting, you can go just in life in general, however you want to go with it.
Well, as soon as I started thinking about that, man, a couple different scenarios came into my mind. Because truth is, man, I haven't just had one struggle that I've had to overcome. Man, I've had years of struggles that I've overcame just to find a new struggle that I had to overcome. And in essence, that's what life is, you know? Excuse me. That's why I feel like this journey that we're on, it's a never ending battle. It's a never ending fight to get to that ultimate. Here's an analogy for you, to climb Mount Everest, you know? Your life is climbing Mount Everest. When you get to the top is at the end of your life, when you can look back, look down the hill and say, man, look at all I've accomplished. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, in order to be at that point, you got to climb that hill, climb that mountain, climb the steep freaking way up that mountain, which looks daunting from the bottom. But as you take steps and steps and steps, it gets easier and easier and easier because you've done it before. You know, you get to a certain point where you've defeated all these challenges in the past, and it just builds this confidence in you that you can look at anything in the future regardless of what happens, and you just have that and have that drive and have that know-how that I will overcome no matter what comes in my way. I will defeat it and I will be the victorious. I will triumph over defeat. I love that. I love the podcast name because it's so true. And I have three pillars, honestly, that I've narrowed down, three foundational pillars that really embody success and help me get to where I am today, and it's helped other people as well. I've studied a lot of successful people, and these three pillars are all things that they speak about into getting the success that they've achieved and overcome overcome the defeats that they've challenged, you know? And the biggest thing is with these pillars, like if you put them into play every single day and focus on them, you will overcome anything that you face in your life. And more specifically, like looking at my past, there's a couple of things that I've had that's really shaped who I am right now. I'll look at more recently, honestly, something actually I haven't ever talked about before. So you guys listen to this now and you get to hear it. Something that a lot of people haven't ever heard about me, but, see, it was 2019. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago now, 2019. I was driving home. Actually, my girlfriend and I broke up and they went to the bar. We were still living together at the time. It was us two and then two friends. We all had a house together. It was right after college, you know? So this night specifically, they were going to the bar and I didn't want to go out because, you know, I'm a stubborn person. You know, that's just who I am. You know, if you know me pretty well, you know, yeah, Dylan's stubborn. He doesn't do anything that he doesn't want to do. And if you try to push him, you're just going to hear about it all night long. But with that being said, like, I didn't want to go out with him because I was just being stubborn. So they left and I was sitting there at the house and I made a horrible decision. I decided, I was thinking to myself, and honestly, I don't know where this came from, but it just came to my head. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something crazy tonight. I'm going to go to a strip club by myself. So I looked at this thing and
yourself.
Yeah. Right. Like this is like looking back, I was like, dude, what are you? You're an idiot, Dylan. What are you thinking? Like I said, it was a very bad decision and I regret it, but at the same time, it built me into the person, the character I have today. So I don't regret it. You know, it helped me learn what's wrong and what's right. Mm-hmm. And it helped me discover things about myself that I can apply to today and apply to the future. And that I know without a doubt, I'm a good person. And I do everything I can to just instill and just be the light in the darkness, you know, and this helped me be that way. So really it all kind of turned out for the best, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything works for the greater good is a perfect analogy for this. But so I was looking and the closest place was like 45 minutes away. So I drove there and I was there for a little bit. It was completely dead. There was literally maybe 3 people in the whole building. So I was honestly just sitting.
Including
the
strippers, or is that just the guests?
Yeah, no, including the strippers, man. It was crazy. But there's like that and the bartender and then maybe like one or two other girls there. And then there was like maybe one dude as well in the bar too. And then the bouncers too, you know, so a little bit more than 3 people, but no more than like 5 or 6. But so I was just sitting there, I was having a few beers, and over the night I had maybe 4 beers in like a 3-hour period. And then I had 1 Jack and Coke as well. So right after I left, I got in my car and I pulled out of the parking lot and I was driving and I was trying to find how to get home because I've never been to this place, never been to this area. My GPS was being a little slow on me. And at the time it like told me to go one way and then flipped. So, and then told me to go the other way. So I tried to pop a U-turn in the street and just, cause nobody, it was like 2 a.m, you know, no pitch black, nobody was out. So I cranked my wheel and I started to turn. And then all of a sudden out of my left ear, I see these headlights sitting behind a barn. And then instantly I was like, oh no. So I jerked it back into my lane. And then those headlights started following me. And I looked behind me and I was like, oh, that's a cop. That's a cop, man. And I was just like, oh, crap. And I was thinking like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I'm not drunk or anything like that. Because I really wasn't, you know, I was pretty sober to my aspect, but I still had the alcohol in me.
Yeah.
So if I blew, you know, I was going to show up, which happened. He pulled me over like a mile later. You know, he waited like a mile and I was driving the speed limit. Both hands on the wheel, you know, just going slow.
White knuckling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweating bullets. And,
oh, dude, so bad. When the guy pulled me over, man, he knew I was scared and I was just like, he knew that this kid was just, he was like, oh, man. But actually, I don't even know what this guy was thinking, but he kept telling me, like, through the whole process, he kept telling me that, you know, you were so cool about this. You were so responsive. You answered all my questions. You were great. I'm going to make sure the judge knows about this. I checked the report. He didn't say anything about me being like that. He said he didn't say anything about me being helpful or anything like that. So he was lying in my face. But anyway, that's besides the story. He was just trying to calm me down. But so he pulled me over and he got me out of the car. And he did a sobriety test on me. He made me walk, you know, stuff like that. And I passed it so far. And that's why he was like, you know what, come to my car. I'm going to make you do the breathalyzer. And this is where I was stupid because I should have said no. And if anybody's listening to this, maybe I shouldn't say this because maybe it's a comeback to haunt me. I don't know. But don't ever take the breathalyzer because one, it doesn't hold up in a court of law. Okay. And two, you have the right to say no. You don't have to do it. Me, I didn't know that now. I didn't know that at the time. So I said yes, scared kid, looking at talking to an officer 2 a.m, you know, pulled up with the lights going, people driving by. Actually, yeah, there were people driving by. I don't even know what they were doing. But anyway, so
probably
I ended up blowing.
Saw you get like, pulled over. They had to leave that strip club.
They were under the, yeah, right. Like, go. Oh, man, yeah. This is funny, dude. But yeah, so I blew him. And it was, what was it? It was like, I blew like a 0.01, something like that. So, or point one. I think it was point one, actually. Yeah, it was high. But then, I got arrested. We got in the back of the cop car, which is the first time I've ever been arrested. It was honestly a crazy experience for me. I don't want to ever do it again. So it scared me straight, being honest right there.
Yeah.
But I got there, and then he drove me like maybe in 30 minutes to the closest police station. And this was like, these were small towns too. So this police station was a super small building. And he processed me, booked me, asked me some questions, stuff like that. Luckily, he let me go. So my buddy actually picked me up that night. But when I blew in the station, because you blow in the field, you do the breathalyzer in the field. And this is why it doesn't hold up in court, because there's so many variables. And a lot of the times they don't make it super accurate. You know, they don't file it. They don't narrow it down like that. So when you get to the station, they make you blow on this breathalyzer that's a lot more accurate. And when I blew on that, it was as 0.089, which is 0.009 over the legal limit. So I literally went from like a 0.1 to a 0.08 within 30 minutes. Like, I sobered up quick, you know? So luckily, because of that, the judge saw everything in the end. In the end scheme of things, he basically like slapped my hand, you know? I had 6 months without a license, paid the fines, paid the fees, did the whole process like that. And it's done. It's off my record because it was my first one. I paid everything in time and it was all good. That was the deal we had. So luckily, like that was a blessing in itself. I didn't go to jail. I didn't have anything like that bad happen to me. So I'm honestly so grateful that that happened in that scheme. But it was one of those things that like, it shook me to my core, because like nothing ever happened like that to me before. Like when I was growing up, I was one of those kids who didn't drink until he was like 17, and didn't party, didn't do all this stuff. I was in church, you know, I played drums on the worship team, you know, Sundays, Wednesdays, I was there all the time. I was so involved with my youth group and my ministry. And I never would have thought to do this stuff. But then once I got into college, I kind of let loose and kind of started experiencing the worldly views of things and what it was like in that sense. And this, what happened that night, changed me and reverted me back to where I was when I was in high school. And I was so, so thankful and grateful for that, because it honestly, it was a major slap in the face where God was just telling me, Dylan, you cannot keep continuing down this path. If you want to continue down this path, this is just a glimpse of what your life will become. And I heard that loud and clear. So after that, dude, I stopped doing all this stupid stuff that a typical like dude like in his 20s would do, chasing girls, chasing booze, chasing drugs, all that stuff. You know, I just cut it out. I did not want it anymore. I didn't want my life to be a part of that at all. So in hindsight, in the grand scheme of things, like it was honestly the greatest day of my life, because it helped me really learn who I am, you know, and discover what I truly want. Mm-hmm. And after that, to the whole year, I actually moved back with my parents. So I was actually 26, almost 27, living with my parents still, lived with them for a year. And that was a whole nother thing that just shook me, because I was like, dude, what am I doing? You know? So it was at that point, halfway through that, is when I started this business. Is when I started Muscle University. And I had the idea to, you know, I had the idea to give back and take my life and really try to see what my full potential could be. Because I've always had in the back of my head that, hey, Dylan, start a business, do something, an entrepreneurial like that. I never knew what entrepreneurship was, but I've always had these thoughts like, oh dude, I can make some money. Like I could be rich one day, you know, I could live the life I want one day, man. I could have that sexy car, that Audi, you know, all these convertibles. Like, ooh, that could be my life. I could have that house and the Benz and all that stuff. That could be my life. And I felt like that was where I was being called to, and not just the worldly possessions of it, of the rich and stuff, but the freedom, the financial security, the fulfillment, the never worrying about where money's going to come from, never living paycheck to paycheck, the just success and fulfillment and freedom. That was what I was after, the freedom. Because, you know, I came from a middle-class family. We had money, but we didn't at the same time. You know, I was able to buy some new clothes growing up, but at the same time, a lot were hand-me-downs. And I had to wear the same stuff over and over. And I was very self-conscious of that. I was always the people pleaser growing up, always wanting to please my peers to be, you know, accepted by them. And as I look back too, I think a big thing with that was I would come from a broken home, and every other weekend I had to travel out of the city to my dad's city and spend time with him, where I didn't have friends. It was just me and him. And then he was dating this girl at the time, and she had two sons who were my age as well. So luckily I had some friends and made friends with them. Mm-hmm. And I still stay in touch with them every now and then. They're doing well and growing up as well. But we all hunted, we all fished, we all played sports together. So in that aspect, I got to learn and develop there. But coming back to the city where I went to school and stuff, I mean, I knew everybody knew me. It was a small town. I knew everybody, you know, I was a social butterfly, but I never made that real connection with someone in order to develop a full great friendship like that. I never had the opportunity, you know, so that kind of pushed me to being a people pleaser, wanting to please everybody, wanting to make everybody happy, everybody liked me and stuff like that. So those are some things I had to overcome throughout my life. And it was just, it all comes back to that one point really, where this happened in 2019, and that DUI that I got, it just changed me so much, because it made me just reevaluate everything about myself. And it made me just look deep into my life and say, Dylan, are you really happy with who you are today? And I answered that honestly. And I said, no, I'm not. And I was almost in tears when I was answering this question, because I was just so tired of being miserable, so tired of smiling, but secretly hating myself, and just wondering why people talk to me, because I couldn't even talk to myself, you know? And I made a decision that day. I made a decision that I would change things. I would change things for the better, for the rest of my life. And I, not only did I make a decision, but I made a commitment. I made a commitment to do it, to fulfill it, and to stay on this path for the rest of my life, no matter what would come up, no matter what would try to derail me. I will never lose sight of what God has truly called me to be, you know? And that man is who I am today and who I'm always chasing today. Like Matthew McConaughey, I always think about this quote from him. He always talked about his hero, isn't like a superhero, anything like that. He talks about his hero is him 10 years from now. And he said, 10 years from now, he's going to be a better version, a richer version, a smarter version, a fulfilled version of himself that he is right now. And he's chasing that. So even in 10 years, if he catches that man, he's never fully going to catch him, because once 10 years from then, he's going to be like, all right, my hero is me 10 years from now, you know, and it's just a continuous cycle like that. So he's never going to catch that person, but he's always going to be on the road to fulfillment, following that person, you know. And at the end of his life, he can look back and either say, yes, I finally caught him, or no, I didn't, you know. And I want to be that man that says, yes, I finally caught him, because I have so many visions in my life and just in my head that I feel like God gives me, that it just, feeling and the experience that I get from these visions, man, I just see myself having true freedom, traveling, you know, living in the house I want, living where I want, taking care of my family, literally retiring all of my family, just being that guy who changes his family's history, being the first millionaire in his family, and then billionaire, and then trillionaire, you know, just that life, that goal is what I search and what I strive for, what I hunt for, not just strive for, you know. So going back to where we started before I started getting into this, the three pillars of success are commitment, discipline, and then perseverance. So these three pillars are the foundation of everything, because just like me through that process, I made a commitment to change my life. And then I had the discipline to stay to that commitment every single day. And then even when things got tough, I persevered through the challenges, through the defeats, to continue to stay disciplined and committed to my ultimate goal. So that's why the three pillars of success, commitment, discipline, and perseverance, are just what I embody and what I really just, that's my layer, my foundation, man. And I just build everything off of that. So right here I am today speaking with you guys, just so blessed and grateful to be here. Cause I mean, if you really think about it, like I could have gotten an accident on that 45 minute driving home when I did have alcohol in me. I was buzzed. It was dark, pitch black, man. I could have hit something, could have hit a deer, could have fallen asleep. Anything could have happened. I could be dead. I could have been dead. But instead, that cop pulled me over and allowed me to sober up so my friend could pick me up and take me home. Mm-hmm. You know, everything happens for the greater good, because here I am today and I get to share my story. And maybe I can reach you, or you listening to this right now. Maybe I can reach you. Maybe I can get into your heart and open your mind to see the truth and reality of this life and show you that, hey, your trials, your tribulations, they're not meant to defeat you. They're meant to make you stronger. Make mm-hmm. you grow from it, you know. So that's what I, yeah.
Oh my God, this man is dropping bombs. Look, if you listen to this right now, you need some extra motivation, or you just want to listen to this over and over again, go back, rewind about 30 minutes, about 20 minutes in the podcast, and listen to this man, dude, the whole time, bro. Like, your energy is like got me like hyper as fuck. Like I'm almost want to go, yeah,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
Like yeah, really, this awesome, podcast, awesome. This podcast and Brandon's podcast, our brand ambassador, Brandon Pacina, his podcast was very motivational as well. He went through a lot of shit to get to where he's at. But man, this podcast got me fucking fired up. I damn near want to run through a wall right now. And then hearing you when you said that, you know, you're 26 years old, back at your parents' house and stuff like that. Man, people got to realize that a lot of successful people got started late 20s, early 30s. Jay-Z didn't get started till he was 26 years old. But now, you know, everybody knows who right. Jay-Z is.
Look at
so
him.
Literally,
yeah.
You look, get these three pillars, use it, build it as a foundation of the house to your success, and do what you got to do to triumph over freaking defeat. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's about, baby. That's what it's about. You know,
well, my man Dylan, it was awesome getting you on. We both knew you were gonna provide some insane value, especially with that story like that, using your past to, you know, really build who you are today. That's always, you know, that's always something we love to hear. But yeah, it was awesome having you on, man. Really, really thankful that you took the time out of your day to come and do this with us. It was awesome. It was an awesome experience. Any last thoughts you want to tell the people?
Well, stay strong, man. Stay strong. You know, you are not your past. You know, you are not anything that you faced. You know, all these bad decisions that you made in your past, it doesn't define you. It makes you into the character that you have today. And with that, you just know that you are the creator of your life. You're not the victim. Not at all. You can create anything that you want, but it all starts with your mind and with your heart. So keep those two alive and keep feeling that fulfillment and joy and gratitude for the life that you're given every day. And man, you can be unstoppable. There is no stopping your true potential. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity for you guys to have me on here today. Really, honestly, this was awesome. It's a great opportunity. Like I said, I never shared that story, so you all get to hear it for the first time. You know, hate me, love me, that's cool, man. I still love you guys, man. I still wish the best for you, so appreciate it.
We appreciate you, my man. With that, again, guys, you can find all of Dylan's links down below. If you want to connect with this man, it's down below. Click on his Instagram account, click on that Muscle University account, find out what Dylan's doing, who Dylan is, if you don't know already. Anyways, guys, that's been episode 35 of the TOD Project. We will catch you guys next week on episode 36. All right, take it easy. Have a great, great rest of your day.